Well, promise and potential. That's kind of what I've labeled today's message, is promise and potential. I put it on the front of your bulletin there. Because as we celebrate things like a baby day, when we celebrate new life, young life, I think we receive a tremendous promise. And the possibility that lies ahead, that potential of that new life. You know, every child, whether they realize it, and they probably don't, not yet anyway, every child is a promise. Every child is a possibility, and every child holds within them potential. Actually, that's true not just of babies and young people. That's true for every one of you in this building right now. You are a promise. You have possibility, and you're full of potential. You do not need to be young for that to be true. I think about the world that we live in. And let's be honest. When we think about words like promise, potential, possibility, sometimes babies are born into a part of life or a particular place in life or a situation in life where oftentimes because of poverty or hopeless conditions, it's hard for us to see that, right? Sometimes we think, there are people I know that see babies and new life as inconvenience because they realize the hopelessness or they see or feel hopelessness because of the conditions they live in. But yet, they are a promise. And no matter how we grow up or the situations we find ourselves in, potential and promise is a tremendous thing. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today. And we look at each one of these babies. And sometimes we look at babies just in awe, don't we? Sometimes you just see a baby and you're just like, I mean, you can't help it yourself but go, oh, right? And I love that hope. And really, for every single baby, no matter what situation they're born into, whether they are in a situation that just seems dire and hopeless, or perhaps they're born into a family in a situation where, what's the term? They're born with a silver spoon because the world is all theirs to choose from. We need to realize the potential and the promise and the possibility. For all of you that have raised children past the state of babiness or been a part of that as aunts and uncles and grandparents, sometimes you can look back at those times and kind of smile, right? I think about times of my own children where I think back to memories and I just smile. I can't help but smile because it was tremendous. And other times I look back and I see and I go, right? You know, like when you haven't slept three nights in a row because they've cried all night. We had that situation. I'll pick on the other son this week because since the younger one is here. We had a time where Zach was very colicky. Anybody relate to colic at all? And so we had a period of time where I felt like he would not sleep and all he wanted to do was cry. Those are the times that I look back and go, ugh, so glad to be past that. But just the promise and that potential. You know, oftentimes, how many of you have ever babysat a child that was colicky or having a situation? Because to be honest with you, if you don't have children of your own and you were babysitting like someone like that, what tremendous birth control that is, right? That makes you go, oh, I am not dealing with this, uh-uh. No way. I don't want to deal with this on a regular basis. I wanted to share with you a little story that I read. And I wanted to share this story because it actually comes from an anonymous mother. And she was a poor woman, is what the article said. But it was things that she said she learned about children. She learned from her very own children by being a mother. These are some of the things that she learned, and I'm curious if any of you can relate. She said, these are all factual. I'm not exaggerating on any of these, so that should tell you where we're headed. A king-size waterbed holds enough water to fill a 2,000 square foot 4 inches deep. There's only one way you find that out. If you spray hairspray on dust bunnies and run over them with roller blades, they will actually ignite. Think about that. If you hook your dog leash on the dog and hook it to a ceiling fan, the motor is not strong enough to rotate a 42-pound boy or dog wearing a Batman underwear or Superman cape. It just isn't strong enough to do that. So I'm thinking, wow, there's two stories right there. A dog attached to it and a 42-pound boy attached to it, trying to spin around on the blades of a fan. Whew. It is, however, that same ceiling fan is strong enough to spread paint on all four walls of a 20 by 20 bedroom. Think about that one. You should not throw baseballs up when the ceiling fan is on. Think about that one. It's going to come back at you. When using the ceiling fan as a bat, you have to throw balls up a few times before it actually does hit. Addendum to that, ceiling fans can hit baseballs a long way. Ceiling fans can throw baseballs far enough to break even double pane windows. Man, I'm reading some of these. As I was reading them, I'm like, I'm hoping that none of you have experienced some of these. A 6-year-old can start a fire with a flint rock, even though a 36-year-old father may not be able to after hours of trying. It's amazing how a 6-year-old has that ability. A magnifying glass can start a fire even on overcast days. Can you imagine the potential of that maybe in the fall when everything's nice and dry? I just see nightmare on that one. Okay, for all you mechanics out there who understand about working on cars or understand chemistry at some level, this one made me really kind of scared. If you take brake fluid and you take Clorox bleach, and you combine them in the same container, they create smoke, and a ton of it is literally what she wrote. So much so that we found out that the fire department has a 5-minute response time to our house. Whatever you do, don't combine those two. I was kind of scared to tell you that because I have a feeling there's some young people that went, brake fluid, Clorox. I wonder if we have that at home. Please do not do that. And if you do it, you didn't hear it from me. So the next one would scare a few of you, and I'm thinking of one particular family. I don't know how many of you have pools. No matter how much Jell-O you put in a swimming pool, it still will not solidify to walk across it. Think about that. Some of you that have pools are going, oh my. Second addendum to that is pool filters do not like Jell-O. I don't even know what the result of that was. The next one you can kind of probably relate to if you remember VCRs. VCRs do not eject peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, even though the television commercial says it will. Anybody ruin a VCR that way or any way like that? I'm just curious if that was true. And then the last one is the spin cycle on the washing machine does not make earthworms dizzy. However, it will make the cat dizzy. Ah, the potential of young kids, right? The potential of youth. How we can take innocent things like brake fluid and Clorox and create not so innocent situations. But that fulfillment that we have, the potential and the possibility that can happen in our lives. And I think when we allow things to just feed into us, sometimes they might be a little disastrous. We might be cleaning every inch of a house because it's just filled with smoke, or fixing windows because of broken baseballs. But we have this potential. And so we're going to look at Acts chapter 1 today. You probably saw that in your bulletin. We're going to look at Acts chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 7 through 11 to you, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. So if you turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1, verses 7 through 11, I'm going to read God's word. Jesus said to them, "The Father is the only one who has authority to decide dates and times. Those things are not for you to know. But when the Holy Spirit comes to you, you will receive power. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and every part of the world." After he said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up and the cloud hid him from their sight. As he was going, they were looking into the sky. Suddenly, two men wearing white clothes stood beside them, and they said, "Men of Galilee, why are you standing here looking into the sky? Jesus, whom you saw taken up from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you saw him go." This is the reading of God's word. We do not have control of everything in our lives. Is that a news flash to you? Now, I got to tell you, if any of you are out there like me, I tend to be a little bit of a control freak. A little bit. I shade that side just a little bit. I thought I would get a laugh from my family over here on that one. And I think I'm not the only one. There are many people out there who are control freaks. They like to know that things are going the way they plan. And I see Kara shaking her head. Yeah. Like to make a plan and it works out that way. I mean, after all, in our houses, how many of us have had battles over the television remote? Anyone besides us? Just the Fowler family? Who wants to watch what? How many couples struggle as to who's going to be in charge of the finances? How many parents pressure their kids to get top grades because we want to be in control, right? We're pushing our kids, get the best grades. I mean, after all, I would love to say, I mean, we all want to say, my kid got straight A's. I mean, we see too many bumper stickers. My kid's an honor roll student at so-and-so elementary or whatever, you know. We want our kids to get those best grades. Oftentimes, we push them into things. We want them to be at best at something. We see our child has a talent for something. Maybe they play an instrument. Maybe they're a wonderful singer and they're in the theater at school. Perhaps they play football or lacrosse or, you know, a various sport. Perhaps they're a cheerleader. I mean, that can be all about across the board. We want them to be the best at it, right? We want to hope for the best. But because of control, how many marriages do we see today that crumble and fall apart because one person makes demands of the other and is unwilling to move or budge because they're such a control freak that it's like, it's got to be this way. Just so you know, that's not the way marriage is supposed to work, in case I'm unclear about that. Control issues create lots of problems in our lives. Sometimes we want to force things to happen the way we want them. Because after all, every one of us in this building, I'm looking at myself, we create a plan and that's perfect, right? Our plan is perfect, without flaw. We've got it all figured out. Maybe in our minds we do. But we can't necessarily see the whole picture. God is in control. We see from this verse that we read, God is in control of the dates and the times. For all of you control freaks, not me. I am not in control of it. You're not in control of it. God is in control. Which leads us to the children. At the end of the day, I'm not in control of my children. As much as I would love to tell myself that I am. I would love to be able to just tell them, do this, do that, follow this, go this way, make this decision. Everything will work out because I've got it planned out for you. Not a single parent said an amen. Wow. Come on now. I know some of you parents feel that way, right? If I could just help them and guide them and teach them and show them to keep them from to keep them from making mistakes. I think this is probably true of most families. Including the family of God, right? I think about Oftentimes, I wish my boys had made other decisions. And I will tell you, I think my kids turned out all right, no matter how much I tried to mess them up. They're turning out to be pretty good young men. But there are some things that I wish they had decided differently. I think we probably can all make those statements. You know, oftentimes I watch movies. I don't get a lot of time to do that. I have people that talk to me all the time, "Hey, have you seen this movie?" And I'm like, "No, I haven't even heard of it. I don't know." But I like watching movies sometimes, but sometimes I have to laugh because you see these, what I call puppy dog and rainbow movies. You know what I mean by that? Everything works out. Everything lands on a happy ending. I call them puppy dog and rainbow movies. Everybody makes the right decision. It all works out and life is fantastic. I don't know if you've noticed in your life, but it doesn't always play out like that, like it does in the movie. We hit bumps in the road. You know, I think it's true for everyone, not just my family, but Michelle and I, when we started out our family, I'll be real honest with you, I was probably a little naive. In my 20s, freshly married, we found out we're getting ready to have our first child. It's going to be easy. It's going to be simple, right? This is what we're going to do. There'll be nothing to worry about. Everything's going to work out. We find this out, and we're moving along, and Michelle and I are, you know, we got married, and we're 2 years married, and we find out we're pregnant with Zach, sitting over there with his arms crossed. And things in life happen. All of a sudden, my company one day that I was working for decided to just close the door. We showed up. We pulled up to the parking lot on Monday and went, I mean, they did a tremendous job over the weekend because they were gone. That changes to affect the life a little bit. What happened to my plan I had? I had it all figured out. This was not part of my plan. This shouldn't be happening. It's because we are not in control. God is in control of the dates and the time as we read. So here's what I want you to do. We're going to do a little exercise. Now, you don't have to stand up and literally exercise. But what I want you to do is I want you to turn to the person next to you. And you're going to say these words. I am not in control. Now, I want you to turn right back to that same person. And I want you to say these words. You are not in control. Wow, you guys seemed to easier time having on the second one than the first one. Was that just me that noticed that? It was easier to say the second one, right? You are not in control. You know, some things are not for us to know. You just have to do the work and have faith and believe, and that is enough. Some things are not for us to have control over. Some things are not for us to see the end picture, but to believe. And here's the thing. To simply trust God. I mean, I got to tell you, because I am a tad bit of a control freak, I'm a tad bit of a planner, I like to know how things are going to play out. And I have to be honest with you, I would really, 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 can I say really enough times, I would love for God to be able to just show up at my office, and I could go, okay, this is the plan, this is what's going to happen, here's how it's going to go, this is when this is going to work out, this is how this is going to land, this is how this person's going to do this. I wish he would do that. I really, really wish he would do that. He hasn't done that yet, just so in case you're wondering. They're not for us to know. We move forward in faith and trusting him. We move forward understanding the message we see at the cross. We move forward in faith that he will take care of things because he is in control. He knows the dates and the times. And you know what's amazing? I'm not sure how this happens. As you get older, you tend to get a little bit smarter. A little bit. I would say I'm a little bit smarter. Maybe a little bit wiser than I was when I was in my 20s and freshly married and looking at the prospect of buying my first house and having our first child and all those things that you come across. But I've also learned this. The wisdom of the world, it's foolishness. It's silliness. And it's definitely foolishness when it comes to what God has for us, what God wants for us, what God desires for us. And so we need to understand through the message of his word that he knows the dates and he knows the times and the potential and the promise. We need to rely on him for that. We can't plan it all out. Ugh. Sometimes I go, ugh, because I want to plan it all out. But we need to lean into and on him for that promise and that potential of the future. You know, we need to study and know God's word. You need to learn how to become a complete man or woman by understanding his word and his desire and what he wants for our lives. Teaching. Sometimes it's hard to be taught, isn't it? Because as you continue to grow older, and as we get older, and I've noticed this, I'm going to put some of you on the spot here. I'm just going to talk to the ones older than me, because this doesn't apply to me, right? As we get older, we've got it all figured out. We don't need to be taught anything, right? Isn't there a saying, you can't teach old dog new tricks? I think that's false. I think we are always learning and can always learn. Now, some of you probably just got mad at me for that, didn't you? But I think we can learn more. And so we need to continually be in his world, in his word. We need to be a part of a small group, a Sunday school class, something where we are learning his word, learning from each other, but learning as the Holy Spirit imparts its wisdom and its knowledge on us. We need to be taught, and we need to be willing to learn. You know, teaching does a lot of things. It does give you intelligence. It gives you some wisdom, hopefully. The other thing is that it rebukes us. We don't like that part too much, do we? But it keeps us in line. It corrects us. It adjusts our behavior and our thinking and our lives. It provides training for us so that we can eventually land on that potential that we have. Because I got to tell you, I don't care how old you are. I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're 9 or 99. You have potential. You have potential. And you can learn. And you can grow. You have potential in your life. There is real power in his word. I think I made Aunt Sis laugh. I think I made Aunt Sis laugh. But there is power in his word for each and every one of us, not just for a new baby that comes up and we get to honor. There is power and potential and promise and possibility. I don't know how many more P words I can come up with there. For every single one of us. And so what we need to do is lean into his word. You know, I asked you over Lent, how you doing? Right? We kind of laughed about that. How you doing? I know we're past Lent. Easter was a couple weeks ago. But how are you doing? I hope you didn't stop. And I hope you remember what I was asking you there. I wasn't asking you how you're feeling. Was today a good day? How you doing is, are you in the Word? Are you spending time in prayer? Are you being taught? Are you being directed? Are you growing? Because you have tremendous promise and potential in your life. I don't care your circumstances. I really don't. You have promise and you have potential. I heard a story not too long ago about a man who was elderly. Never did say how old he was, so I'm going to go with older than me. He was in the hospital. His body was overtaken with cancer. To the point where he was laying in a hospital bed and had to hit his nurse's buzzer if he just wanted to go to the bathroom, because he was unable to do that of his own ability. And yet every day, the nurses told of how he impacted their lives because he knew God's word so well that he was preaching and teaching and sharing what he had learned. Most people would say his life did not hold much potential, right? Almost completely bedridden, body overtaken with cancer. And yet he saw the potential that he had to impact lives by speaking the word of God. I'm thinking if that man has potential to impact lives, if our life is better than his, we probably have potential. And so that's my message for you today, is understanding it's not just about babies. It's not just about young people. Although they have potential and promise also. Every single one of us have promise and potential. And we can impact and grow and learn more. So my challenge for you this week is I want you to take some time this week. And I want you to ask yourselves a question. I don't know all the plan. But do you see your life as a promise of possibility and potential? Can you answer that question with a yes? Or do you just see the obstacles that are in front of you? Do you see them as reasons or excuses why I can't do anything, or why I can't do this? I'm going to challenge you to change your thinking. Only God knows the dates and the times. And it isn't just about something happening. It's about the promise and the potential in your life. Let Him tell you what your promise and potential is. How you can impact those around you. How you can grow and become smarter and wiser. Because I'm sure at some level all of us could, right? I haven't figured out how to do everything right yet. Nope, nothing over there. Okay. So challenge yourself with that. What is my promise? What is my potential moving forward? What is God speaking into my life? What is He telling me and directing me to? So that's my challenge for you this week, okay? Can we do that? Let me close in prayer, and then I'm going to have you stand for the benediction. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your word. We are thankful that we can, no matter our age, learn and grow and perhaps see the, not perhaps, but see the potential that you have and the promise for each one of our lives. Father, I just ask you to speak into every person's lives here this week. Make known to them the promise you have for them, the promise that you have for them. May their heart and their mind be softened to your leading and your direction. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the way that you do reveal yourself to us. Father, it's in the name of Jesus that I ask these things. Amen. Well, if you'll stand at this time.